Chicago, guess what? That's right. It is Friday. Praise Break Friday, November the 11th, 2016. And taking the Limits Office on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have a great show for you all today. It's going to be exciting. Look, we're not in the studio today. You know, stuff happens. What can you do? But we're still going to give you all top quality show as always. But look, we have a really, really great conversation, great article today. Article simply entitled, Do Christians Really Need to Go to Church to Worship? Do Christians really need to go to church to worship? That's the topic of today's show. It should be good. Let me give you the rundown, however, on how you can contact the show. If you are already on the line, meaning you've already dialed in, just push 1 and you can be a part of our show with your questions and or comments. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you are on social media, so are we, social media, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We'd love to hear from you there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show, simple, at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to read that tweet on the air. I see y'all coming on in the room. All right, all right, all right, all right. Let's see. Email, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show. That's takingthelimitsoff@comcast. And last but not least, iTunes. You can download the podcast by simply going to your iTunes account, going to the podcast section and doing a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you'll find us right there. Hit the subscribe button. Won't cost you nothing. Amen. Look, y'all, it is good. Unfortunately, you know, right now when we're doing remote, we don't have the luxury of being able to do the live stream for Facebook Live or the Ustream option right now. So if you know people who are used to watching, simply have them go to the Blog Talk link and they can listen, or give them the call-in number and they can sit and listen like some of you all already are. Amen. So, man, look, it's been a good week. It's been a crazy week, right? I think Pastor Cornelius Parks might be joining me a little bit later. I'll just wait for him to pop in, and we'll add him to the conversation. But it's been a crazy week. You know, we had the election on Tuesday, and we're still feeling the reverberations from that. The protests are still going on. All these different scenarios are now being talked about. And, you know, honestly, at this point, man, there is really nothing we can do about it. I got sent an article by a friend of mine the other day saying that there was still a way to get Trump out of office. Apparently, because the Electoral College still has to solidify, or that's not the word I want, but they still have to put their votes in, because they still have to put their votes in on the 19th to make them official. Apparently, some of these members of the college could change their vote even on the 19th, meaning they could go against the will of the people of their state and change their vote. Legally, they could do that. But it would take a major swing in votes to get that done. I think Pastor Parks is joining me now. Pastor Cornelius Parks, what's up, sir?
What's going on, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, hey, we have to be able to adapt when stuff happens, man. We
yes,
have to be
sir.
Able to adapt.
We, man, improvise. Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, man. My arm hurting, man, but I'm all right.
Your arm is hurting. What's wrong? What had happened?
Man, I got beat so bad that I have to walk away with a sling on my right arm.
But
I did at least bowl close to a 200 now. That's combining my games.
Look here, man. The people, you know, I've been asked what happened to the Facebook Live portion of our little event, and
yeah,
we didn't do
it. I told you to go live. You just didn't want to embarrass me.
Right.
I appreciate
you know
it as
what?
A brother.
I felt bad. I said, you know what? I ain't gonna do it. I said, I ain't gonna.
Man, I felt like Fred Flintstone out there bowling, man.
I felt so bad. Go ahead.
Every time he hit the lane, it was like, doop.
Man, I said, oh, this brother is struggling. Let me not. No, I said, I can't do it.
But I want to tell all of our listeners.
Uh-huh.
Let me say this. I tell my listeners, I admit, Dana can bowl, y'all. He can bowl. He got a couple of dances that he do. When he think a strike coming. So what I did, I was trying to tell them to be quiet. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I turned around and told them to be quiet.
Right.
And when
right.
I told them to be quiet, I hit
right.
a strike.
You,
then when I told them to be quiet again, I hit 9 pins down.
Let me say it like this. Every time you told us to stop talking, what, mind you, the bowling alley was loud, but he only looked around at the 4 or 5 people that was behind him and gonna say, hey. And y'all know the only thing I kept thinking about was him out there in them woods. Talk about some.
Lord have mercy. Hey, why don't y'all help us out? He not trying to let that one die, man. Oh my God, Lord have mercy.
I ain't saying nothing else about it. I'm just saying when you turned around and said,
Lord have mercy.
Is he trying to get us to be quiet while the rest of the bowling alley is loud? I was really trying to get it. We're sitting there, and mind you, there's a league game going on because the league bowls up there every Wednesday. So the league got like lane 20 going all the way back to lane 1, and they making all kind of noise. They got music playing, the TV is on, folks is cussing, and everything else.
Yes,
and then there are people to the right of us from lane 25 all the way to the wall. They all making noise. But when he gets up to bowl, he wants, again, the little handful of us to be quiet. He steps up to the lane, y'all, and this is what happens.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Lord have mercy. No, he did, no. Hey, y'all, we have my boy Tubby. Oh, my God. Listen. Hey, so I did tell him. I turned around. Let me tell you what was taking me so long to go down the lane. I kept saying to myself, focus now, focus. I'm saying focus now, focus. See, the problem with me in bowling,
uh-huh.
I don't know if the floor is that slippery either. So when you're kind of fat,
Hold on.
You're kind of fat, you trying to keep your balance. You're trying to keep your equilibrium. And so I was afraid that I was going to come tumbling down the lane. And so, but I, no excuses, people. No excuses. Hey, I bowled a 75 the first time, which is horrible. And then I came back strong.
Uh-huh.
And I busted 100 club, but it was only 108. Matter of fact, just a year comes. Oh, my God. I know that. I bowled 108. I guess I was still celebrating the club.
Oh, Lord. I said, wow. That was impressive, man. It was impressive.
Man, listen here. Man, I came back and bowled that 108. I thought I was on cloud 10. So on my way home, I was thinking of a strategy so I could tell the people that I did do good numerical. At work, I just put my thoughts together.
Uh-huh.
I put my scores together.
Uh-huh.
And, man, we'll go from there.
And you add them up, and what you get?
Huh?
I said, when you added them up, what did you get?
203.
But you know what? You should have added old girl scores too, though. So see, from your church.
Okay. Hey, listen. I did better than I thought. Because she bought the 83.
See, I'm just trying to help you out, Doc. That's all I was trying to do.
83. Oh, my God. That's 168.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
208. Oh,
uh-huh.
My God. That's 61. Man, listen here. A 316. Lord have mercy. That's 300 is a perfect game.
Yes,
I
sir.
Did over 300. I did 300. Oh, my God. Lord. Well, you should have never told me that. Man, I did
a
316, baby.
Yeah. You did that. Yes, you did, sir.
Man,
yes.
Now I need some chop music on that one night.
See, you know what happened? You didn't have your background music like you said you was going to have. And
now,
I think
see,
that kind of threw
because,
your game off.
You know, honestly, everything, because the election and all that,
uh-huh.
People dropped out. They quit
right.
on me.
Right.
So they ran for the border. So my crew
they,
that was going to play my music.
Wait. You said they ran for the border. Are you trying to say you had some illegal musicians?
No, not really. What I'm saying is they thinking Trump gonna send everybody away, so they went and got a head start.
Oh, so they went on and just left.
They went on and left. They got a head start. They didn't matter how much I was gonna pay them, they just need a head start. Yeah, so I just had to make sure I get them. I told them, go ahead, man. Knock yourself out, man. So I came in kind of down because my theme music wasn't with me. You know, and then I had so many people text me saying good luck. Man, I had more people text me. I actually got people today still asking, whatever happened to bowling? You know what I tell them? I just use one term, terrible. You know, because the Bible used terrible in a good way, too.
Come on,
the Bible,
now.
It's scriptures in the Bible that says terrible, but in essence, it means good. And so by me saying terrible, they don't know if I'm saying bad or good. So I'm just trying to confuse the enemy. So if I keep it neutral by saying terrible, man, they don't know which side I'm coming on. They don't know if it's good or bad. So I'm all good, man.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Oh man. So it was fun though. It was fun, and we're going to have to do it again. What we're going to do is we'll do it again. Because this was kind of thrown together, just me and you talking mess, you know. But we're going to have to do it again and form some teams. See, so
okay.
So you know what I'm saying. So next time, you know, we'll put it together. We'll make it a little bigger. You know, give everybody a chance to come out. And you know, you bring you and two people. You and two people for your squad, and then I'll get two people for my squad. Brother Devon, he'll grab him too for his squad, and the good Cardinal, who was talking more mess than anybody.
He was talking it. He was talking it.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. The Cardinal walked in. Buenos dias. I didn't see not one Mexican in there.
No.
And he messed up.
He was. They was in the back. They was in the back. They...
Oh, okay. Oh, they was working. Okay.
But look here. You. Did you see the rerun hat, though? I wish he was on the line because he had that rerun What's
God.
Happening Now hat.
Oh, my God. Man, he looked like a professor mixed with a rocker. One of them rocker dancers. Hey, you Cardinal looked like he's going to take his going for his doctor.
Hey, look like all we needed was the thing from Beach Street when he walked in because we was ready.
No,
that's
man,
it.
we need a rerun. I'm watching music, man.
Man, wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute, what's she? Hold on. See, Taya ain't no good. Taya gonna talk about something. She just sent me a text message saying he looked like he was an extra for a rerun. You know, I guess a stunt man.
Oh, my God. Oh, hey, you know the Cardinal gonna get us, man. You know he's gonna get us.
Right. Somebody gonna tell.
We better have fun while it lasts.
Oh, God.
Children.
So look, man, you've been hearing any fallout or whatever from your membership? You getting ready for Sunday? Because, you know, that's you go, if you haven't already got questions, I'm sure you've gotten people on Facebook hitting you up. What's the direction going to be? I know Sunday, you know, our sermons are supposed to be Holy Spirit led, but you cannot not address this, you know, this election.
You know, honestly, and let me say this, one of the things I didn't do during the election was stand in the pulpit to any person. I try my best to keep it away from the pulpit because I don't want to seem biased.
Absolutely.
And so what I did for Bible study, I did shift my teaching to 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. You know, this is the time that we got to remind the people that God is in control and in charge still. Now, keep this in mind, brother. Before this even took place, I've been teaching this to my members for a long time about how it's time that we give God back, number one, the church, time that we get closer with our relationship and our walk with God. And
yeah.
I didn't want to seem like I'm like everyone else. Now, just tuning in to the discrepancies of the world, and now we got to, well, at least God is in, at least we got to give it back to God. No, God, that seemed like we're serving God as a second hand.
Yeah.
God should have been the first resort to all of the madness before it even take place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in a series of grace and giving, but sure and all, you got to just give. You got to preach a word on God, on who his powers and who he is. Because there's so many people that goes to church that really don't know the full understanding of God. I'm serious.
Oh,
people,
okay. Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
why so many people are losing focus and faith. And more people put faith in the preacher
than
they do
that's
in God.
True.
And
that's
so,
true.
You know, one of the greatest scriptures and that God ever quoted or allowed, it has been quoted in the Bible that thou shalt have no other God before me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we serve other things, other people, and turn them into our God.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes God jealous.
Oh,
and
come on.
And now God, does what he wants to do just to get our attention. And I believe, even in this state of consciousness, even if the Electoral College come back and change whatever, right now I believe that if God never had our attention, I think he got it now.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he have it now. At first, it probably was fabricating, but folks are really scared now.
Yeah.
Because it's the mystery. It's unknown of what's going to take place.
Well,
the hardest thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Now, the hardest thing right now to do is for it to be as a leader in the African American church. Because, you know, there's questions that even as a young pastor that others are addressing, elders are addressing, those who have pretty much paved the way. I have mothers in my church that helped pave the way. I have some ushers that helped pave the way. And so, you know, far as wisdom, the only wisdom I really could give them is the Word of God right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been through so many different generations, and they've been through so many different times. They've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so some of them just used to it. You know, some of them, we've been here before. Where there's nothing new under the sun, but there's some that's just really messed up and confused. Mm-hmm. And so my talk to them Wednesday was, you know, the Lord has placed a leader over you, and you pray that God give me a word that I'm able to shower in this house in this season. Because you can eat off so many other tables, because, brother, I have seen so many pastors with their statuses, with their statements.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, if you don't have a bold proclamation with the Word of God, sometimes it's best for you not to even say anything because you're confusing people. I know we're so heavenly bound, we're no earthly good. I know that. But in same token, right now, I don't believe, and this is my talking, that God will take us back to somewhere he deliver us from.
Right.
I don't believe he's going to take us back to Egypt. I just don't believe that. Why would you allow me to experience this land of milk and honey and then take me back to a place that you say you deliver us from? And a lot of times we're not focusing on that because we're looking at the present tense. And honestly, I could care less what's going on president, because truth of the matter, you know, and this is no shade towards President Obama or anyone. If we've seen a significant change over the last 15, 20 years, then okay, we should be worried. But since there have not been no significant change in our communities, then, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. I mean, what's the worst that could happen right now? What's the worst that could happen right now? People say they're going to send us back to Africa. Truth of the matter, some of us never been to Africa. So how are you going to go back to where we've never been?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of talk that confuses people. And I think our people perish because of the lack of knowledge.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
true.
Lack of knowledge, but the talk, and I'm going to say this, those who are notable, those pastors who consider themselves as being elite, they have to be careful they say, because people are following them faster than they're following someone like I.
That's true.
Because they have a bigger flock. And so you cannot be off balance in your conversation. Mm-hmm. Whether you feel this way or not, some things cannot be said openly. You can't see. You can't make it seem like you're supporting the decision that took place. He beat the crap out for Hillary, but then you come back knocking Trump, but then you come back praising him in your same post. And so now you're making me think that you're confused.
Ah.
And we're looking to you as being the leader. Remember, we asked the question, what do we do now? And we wonder who is going to be the one.
Yeah.
To stand up and stand. Who have stood up so far? Who? No one. No one.
Yeah.
So now it's like it's just reality. Reality is, before the election, we was disbanded, after the election. It's like every man for themselves.
Wow.
And that's why
wow.
I believe a lot of us younger guys make so many mistakes, because we try to make things happen that others not doing. And we're trying to feel our way through. And truth of the matter, brother, we don't know what decision is good or bad until we make it.
That's
and
true.
It's not
that's
like
true.
We're trying to make a decision to deliberately hurt ourselves, but we don't know. And so because of, remember we used to serve our spiritual fathers not leading us properly. We're out here like the blind leading the blind, you know.
Wow.
I'm a firm believer. Whoever I remember when LeBron James and Miami, boy, his first year back in Cleveland, I'm a diehard LeBron. And
okay.
Win or lose, I'm a diehard LeBron. Time that he lost, I've seen some people jump ship saying he's not this and that. But then when you come back and win, oh, everyone is for him. That's how life is. Even with the Bears, even with the Bulls. The
right.
Bulls could be losing. Man, everybody, man, we suck. We need this and that. But when they start winning,
yeah,
I'm seeing red again. That's
wow.
how we are about life. When things don't play out the way we want it to play out, then we're going against it. But then when things work in our favor, we start going for it. Here, I'm seeing the same people who put President Barack Obama in office, the one who are knocking him right now.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do what they wanted him to
absolutely.
Do. And you
absolutely.
It, brother, the average person don't even know the whole eclipse of politics. We
no,
don't
they
know.
Don't.
We're just going off what we hear.
Right, and like you said, a lot of it is pure speculation. We don't have any idea. And it's funny. I was having this conversation yesterday. That you know, when you look at and I don't want to keep harping on this, but this guy is that's our president elect, Donald Trump. It makes my stomach hurt to say it, but that's just the truth. President-elect Donald Trump, he doesn't have a clue about what it takes to run the country. Because when you watched him yesterday, as confident as Donald Trump was all throughout the debates, all throughout, you know, him at his speeches, and he this and that, big time tough and everything else. Yesterday, if you watched the clips of him meeting the president for the first time, he had never met Barack Obama before yesterday. Meeting the president for the first time, meeting with the guys who the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader, he looked like a deer in headlights. He looked overwhelmed because he has no idea what he's doing, and it's scary because I'm all for outsiders coming in and bringing a fresh perspective to some things, you know. However, even if you come from the outside, you should have some kind of experience. He has none. And one of the things
none.
I think that we're going to find out, or he's going to find out real quick, and I'm sure his people are telling him this now, is that you cannot run the country like you do your business. You cannot, if people don't agree with your idea, you can't fire them. It don't work that way, you know.
Wow.
So now, instead of you demanding things get done, you're going to have to compromise and sit down and meet with people and meet people halfway and do all types of things just to get things done. And that's not really his style. His style is, I'm the CEO, you work for me, I say build it, you build it, and we'll worry about the rest later. Government don't run that way. And
wow.
he's going to be in for a large surprise. And so a lot of the stuff, I was laughing because there are all these videos posted, a lot of the stuff that he claimed he's going to do in the first 100 days, oh, my God. It was a lady on MSNBC yesterday. She's one of the senators and congresswomen, and she said he ain't gonna do none of that stuff. It was a sister. She said She said, I don't know why y'all even believe in that. She said, he ain't going to do nothing.
Right. I agree.
So, it's you know, I think I do understand the fear. I do understand the fear of people, and you have the right to be afraid strictly based on all of the stuff and the mess that he said while he was running. And my last thing on it, and then you can jump in, is I like what the White House said yesterday after President Obama and President-elect Trump met. They did a press conference, and they asked the person who runs his press pool, they said, well, does Obama stick by his statements that he made that this guy is unfit for office? And the guy was like, President Obama's opinion has not changed. He stands by
wow.
everything he said prior to the election.
Wow.
I was like,
that's
oh,
good.
Wow. So, yeah.
I think one of the fear factors of people
yeah.
mm-hmm. is guilt.
Mm.
Guilt because they didn't really do their part.
Mm-hmm.
Some people thought, even though that they wasn't supporting, that Hillary had it in the bag. And I'm being
mm-hmm.
honest with you.
Yep.
An average person guilt because if you look at it, you didn't really see no campaign. I didn't see no campaign other than the debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is probably one of the most downplayed, most important in history, campaigns in history, elections in history, but I didn't see nothing that was saying, okay, because everyone got comfortable, they got content. Even
mm-hmm.
Hillary campaign office, they knew they had this in a bag.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I believe most people is more fearful of them not of regret. I didn't do my part. I didn't do whatever it took, the necessary
mm-hmm.
things it took to get her in office. Or I keep hearing this word, it's time for some things to get shaken up. I keep hearing this.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, we don't know. I mean, we don't know. It's like rolling the dice. We don't know. One thing we do know for certain.
Uh-huh.
It is that if we, those who believe, honestly, and we have no other choice but to keep going back to this because this is what we believe in. We
okay.
trust God that he's going to deliver us out of the hands of Pharaoh. That's what we trust.
Absolutely.
And the truth
Absolutely.
Of the matter, and I'm going to show you something. One of the most let down principles in this world is to put so much trust in someone who give you promises, and they never follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And we had so many promises throughout our presidents for the last past 15, 20 years that we've been let down.
Wow.
This is the only president that we know that what we see is what we get. This is
mm-hmm.
not going to be no shocker. There's
mm-hmm.
not going to be no, oh, man. Only shocker that will take place is when we see him do something good. That's the only shocker. Whatever
oh my,
he does.
Oh my, that's good.
Whatever he does, negative, is not
nope.
no surprise. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Did I lose you?
Okay.
I don't hear nothing. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break because I'm not sure what happened. I think I lost Pastor Parks for a second, but we're gonna take a real quick break. When we come back, we're gonna continue the conversation. We'll be right back, y'all. Hey, Praise Break Friday. Y'all better come on, get it in. TTLO. We'll be back, y'all.
You want to praise him for it now? You want to wait for a manifestation or something else to happen? What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? Now you better stop praising it, because somebody's gonna think you crazy in a minute. Now has God really been that good to you? Has he really been that good to you? One more time, so that you can let the enemy know that you still got the victory. One, two, three, God. Come on and praise him. Hey, I will. One more thing he's done. One, two, three, go! We'll be right back.
is here that know that God will work out a situation? How many witnesses know he'll work it out? Give somebody a high five and say, I know he'll work it out. Because he's done it for me in the past. But some of you have a situation right now. Can you know what this is in here? You got something right now you need the Lord to do. And I'm going to tell you just like this. That's what it is. That's what it is. If you got something right now you need God to do, don't wait till the Lord does it. The Lord is praying me right now.
I think we back. I might be wrong, but I think we back. Pastor Parks, you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Look here, man. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm just gonna leave it alone. Anyway, y'all, look, we are back. We apologize for that little extended break. Hey, but guess what? Maybe somebody got their praise on while we was trying to get it together. Maybe that's what happened. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
I was working my arm out from being sore. I felt like Daniel's son. Wax on, wax off.
Really. Anyway, y'all, hey, we got this really good article, man. It's going to be good. We're going to get into it in a few minutes. It's entitled, Do Christians Really Need to Go to Worship? Do Christians Really Need to Go to Church, rather, to Worship? That's going to be the topic. We're going to get on that in about 10 minutes. Once again, real quick, we do not have Facebook Live today. We do not have Ustream. I did just see the email from one of our listeners saying, hey, they're not able to connect. You can simply call in and listen. Area code 347-934-0546. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com and go right there to Taking the Limits Off Radio, and you can listen that way. So once again, sorry that you guys aren't able to listen today or watch, rather. So, but hey, it's still good. It's all good. I did want to touch on real quick about the shooting and the protest. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, the shooting and the protests that are going on in the south south suburbs. I guess it's actually still Chicago, but there's a big controversy out there right now where people are rioting against the police department from Mount Greenwood. I don't know if you guys have been following this, but Mount Greenwood is an area of the south side. I guess you could say it's the south side of Chicago, but it's like a local area. It's like we would call Austin in the Austin neighborhood. Mount Greenwood is an area of the south side. Let me just give you a quick update on what happened. It's Michael Beal, who is the brother of Joshua Beal, was fatally shot by an off-duty police officer in Chicago's Mount Greenwood neighborhood. He was released on bond Thursday after being charged with trying to disarm a police officer. The crazy thing about this is apparently there's two different stories going on. This is an officer shooting, a police-involved shooting, rather, where, according to the story, I'm reading this directly, so bear with me. I'm reading this directly from the Channel 7 News website. 25-year-old Indianapolis man who was in Chicago for a funeral was killed on Saturday, November 5th, in the afternoon in a police-involved shooting in the Mount Greenwood neighborhood. It says an off-duty officer was fired upon and then returned fire. This is the police side of the story. However, the victim's family disputes this. The victim was identified as Joshua Beal, father of two. He was taken in critical condition to Advocate Christ Medical Center, where he died. According to police, the shooting occurred after a vehicle leaving funeral services at a nearby cemetery stopped in traffic in front of Chicago Firehouse. An off-duty firefighter told the driver that they were illegally blocking the fire lane. The occupants exited the vehicle and verbal physical altercation ensured, and police said an off-duty Chicago police officer was inside a nearby business and assisted the firefighter. Chicago police sergeant driving to work stopped when he observed a man with with a firearm in his hand. After the man failed to drop his weapon, shots were fired, striking the individual multiple times, police said. Apparently, the mother says, Chicago police gunned my baby down like a vicious animal. They shot him twice in the back and three times in the front. According to a family, an off-duty officer in an unmarked vehicle, when he cut off one of the vehicles in the funeral procession, the family members and officer got out of their vehicles. After a verbal exchange, gunfire erupted, but Beal's family said that he did not provoke the officer and merely disclosed that he had a concealed weapon permit. Wow. So here we go again. I the only? Oh, okay. I was about to say, please don't tell me I lost you again.
No, I'm here. I guess, you know, it's a catch 2020 with that.
Always.
Because, one, even though he had a concealed, I've seen pictures, videos
mm-hmm.
of him pulling the gun
mm-hmm.
at the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And about right, they have to do their part as well,
mm-hmm.
because of it's a catch. You know, they have to protect themselves, and then they got to protect the community.
Right, and this sounds like we're not getting the full story. It sounds like there's some pieces missing. So. I'm just going to wait before I pass any judgment. I am somewhat concerned, however, rather pass judgment, but wait before I give my opinion, because I am somewhat concerned about the fact that this appears to be one of those situations. It's a he said, she said situation, but the evidence is really, really sketchy on both sides. But I guess, again, the issue that's being brought up is the protest has started. They've been violent protests in some instances, and here we go again. I mean, and we can't lump all the situations in the same bucket. every police-involved shooting needs to be looked at on an independent basis. We can't look at this like the Laquan McDonald situation. We can't look at this like the Rekia Boyd situation. Everything needs to be looked at based on its own merit before we jump to conclusions, because that's what gets people angry, and that's what incites riots when we automatically say, you know, here go the police again shooting black people. Yes, black person was involved. Yes, police officer was involved. But that's where the similarities end. So until we get the full story, I think we kind of have to fall back and wait for and wait for some more information. Tanya wants to get in here and fill us in with some info. Well, you got the button. Hit the. Hold on. Let me get you in here. All right. There you go. Come on.
Well, I was gonna say
something down. Okay.
Or turn it off.
There you go. No, you're good. All right. Or hit your yeah.
Okay. So the area they're in is Scottish and Ireland. So
Scottish and who?
They Ireland. Irish. Scottish,
oh,
Irish.
Okay, gotcha.
Like territory.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that area is could be, you know, termed like, you know, kind of racist.
Okay.
And everything. But in actuality, it's just like, you know, what we saw in the video was like before the shooting happened. Yes, there was an altercation. Yes, the person had panned over to him. He did have a gun. That was before he got shot. What I'm told is when he was at the fire station, the car stopped. They were trying to move the car.
Oh,
and that's
so the car.
That's
the car stalled. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay.
That was the first piece of information. And that's when the altercation, this is the second altercation began. Like they were trying to move it. Like the car stopped. Like, you know, like what can they do? Like, you know,
right, and that was
the issue that was going on. But the thing is, in that area, you have Beverly, you know, because it's Beverly and then it's Mount Greenwood, and it's like they all border each other. And, you know, we can, not to stereotype, but, you know, some Scottish, Ireland people, they believe, you know, they believe they have, you know, they went through slavery too. And they, I mean, you could almost say they almost don't like black people. Not all of them, but yes, you know, there is some, you know, there's some racial issues over there, because they have issues with at the high school now. There's been hate mail. There's been hate signs put on people's lawns ever since this issue has started.
Okay.
And like,
okay,
you know, the one thing is, like, you know, you can understand is that sometimes, you know, you have to ask yourself, why am I in this area? Like, you know,
okay,
like, you know,
okay,
what, like, you know, you have to ask. He may not have known Mount Greenwood is like that, but ask yourself some questions. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, and it doesn't say that you can't be in a certain area, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's, you know, check where you at. Like, check your settings. And like, you know, and when you're in somebody else's area, maybe, it's to, you know, to be cordial and to be okay. Like, you know, to say the proper things. And no one's saying you have to change who you are. I'm just saying, you know where you at. Don't let all of the black show in you. Like, you know, like, hey, maybe it could have been handled a different way. Like, you know, hey, my man, like, car stopped. We trying to move it. To brandish a gun and everything else like that. And they had that footage from, like, it was 15 minutes to the, you know, 15 minutes after that. I mean,
right,
it's putting him in a certain light right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It really is. Because that's the image where the image looks as though he's pointing his gun at somebody.
But that was,
you know,
15 minutes before the shooting. That was another altercation in that area. And, and you know, going with a funeral procession, a lot of people don't know. And I don't know if it's black. I don't know if it's white. I don't know exactly this whole funeral processional thing. Like, you know, you can't break line and da-da-da-da. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when that happened, it was between white and black. And maybe white people don't know. And I'm sorry, Caucasian. Maybe they don't know. You can't break that line. Maybe that's what, you know, started this fight.
Well, no, they but, know. I mean, know. It's they created the rule. So, the, you know, you don't break the funeral procession line. That's just that's just common knowledge. We didn't, black folks didn't make that up.
My question was that, sorry for cutting you off.
That's okay.
The guy, you know how a lot of these young guys, and I do a tons of funeral, and I see this a lot now, a lot of these young guys like to grab on the opposite side of the procession and try to block off the streets. Was that one of these situations, or he was really in the line?
So, well, the thing is, from what I'm understanding, is that he was in the line. And, you know, in the whole point, you know, like, you know, you try to keep up as tight as you can so no one breaks it. And so if, you know, none of us know what happened, but you know that four section line where you cannot be in it just in case they got to swoop out and do a call. He was in there and the car happened to stop. That's what was the first story we're told, that the car stopped.
But his
was
car,
stalled.
His car apparently stopped. What you're saying is his car apparently stopped in an area where it would block the fire trucks at the fire station if they had to leave for an emergency.
Yes.
Okay. I get it. Ooh. I mean,
certain rules still do apply in the funeral procession. Yes, you can block the intersection because you guys are all in a straight line and you guys got the hazard.
Right, but you
like,
cannot
you know,
block
when
the
it
fire
comes
department.
To that fire station,
right.
You should definitely have stopped, before then. And maybe the car would have stopped at that moment. And maybe we wouldn't be at this place and time right now.
True. I agree. So we'll keep looking at it and we'll stay on top of it. Miss Producer, since we got you on the line, I saw your post earlier. You want to bless us with, because I'm sure it's one of your favorite, what National Food Day is it today?
It is National Sunday Day. Yeah.
And are you celebrating on National Sunday Day with a Sunday?
Yes, I will. Picks to come.
pictures to follow. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your input. And we'll please stay on top of this Mount Vernon thing. Not Mount Vernon. Mount Greenwood situation until we get some more information. Thank you. All right, y'all. We're going to keep moving. So we do have this good article, right? We got 29 minutes left. That's plenty of time to get into this thing and work it out. Were you able to pull up the article, Pastor Parks?
I'm not.
Okay,
so
that's
just,
okay. I got you.
Okay, cool.
Not a problem. I got you. It's real simple. Real simple article. It's on churchleaders.com. It's entitled, Do Christians Really Need to Go to Church to Worship? That's the title of the article. This is good stuff. The writer is Rich Kirkpatrick. And I'll just read a little bit of it. Pastor, I'll give you some room to jump in. This is what he says. He says, do I really need to go to church as a follower of Christ? When Jesus talked with the woman at the well about places of worship, his point wasn't that place was unimportant. Worshiping in spirit and truth can be done anywhere. So we know it's not about the exact address. We know our place of worship is where the spirit is and where truth is. Widely, worship is looked at as a personal choice and activity. In fact, that is quite true. We all have to choose to worship. We all have personal free will. But what is missed is that gathering for worship seems to not be valued. Our worship services are more than an additional stop in the lifestyle of worship. They are the base camps to living life, connecting us to a story bigger than us. Wow, that's good.
Wow.
So, yeah, so then he says this. The first thing he says is, worship is sacred. Discipleship is daily. That's a good title. Worship is sacred. Discipleship is daily. He says, liturgy is a great word to use for what worship happens on Sundays when we gather together at a particular place and time. Liturgy means the people's service or our public worship practice. So when we talk about living a life as a worshiper, there are things we do together as believers that are special. Worship of God, as some say, can be any act. All things we do should be an act of worship. He says, I wish we were all that perfect. And think about this. If worship is everything, then worship is also nothing. So, yes, we have discipleship or the issues of learning to follow after Christ more and more every moment. And we have worship or liturgy that anchors that. He says, I prefer the term liturgy because it seems that the term worship is used for what we used to call discipleship. He says, we also... We also have expressed acts of worship, such as praise, prayer, and service. All of these may not be done literally in a church, as service means I need to touch another. He says, but they can all mean worship. Praise, the definition of the biblical word alleluia, is an expression of worship. He says, prayer is an expression of worship. Hearing and teaching the Bible is worship too. Liturgy gives us a sacred place to discuss and value what we do together. So when Jesus was conversing with this woman at the well, he wasn't telling her that public worship was unimportant. What is perhaps a worthy statement is this: we are disciples or students of Jesus in all that we do daily. A worship service is a sacred event. There is nothing wrong in saying this and in valuing both places of worship. He says there's nothing wrong with making a distinction between worship that is lived out in the world and worship that is celebrated as gathered people. Pastor Parks, I'll put it to you like this, and I know you've heard this from your own friends. Why do I have to come to church to worship God?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, that
is kind of deep, man. It has a lot of to it on how we change wording throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
And worship and discipleship is one or two words that I know for a fact that we have changed.
Yeah.
We try to give it so many Greek meaning of worship and diluting the fact of discipleship is a lifelong process.
Mm-hmm.
This discipleship is a daily experience,
mm-hmm.
which we look at worship as being a lifestyle.
Wow.
You know,
absolutely.
There's so many elements of it that have taken a true meaning
mm-hmm.
from it that confuses people.
Yeah.
And so now people feel that worshiping God, you can do it anywhere. But it's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
The sacredness of worshiping God is being in a place of holiness.
Wow.
A place secluded from the troubles of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is addressed. What have the church presented itself, number one, as a holy and sacred place?
That's good.
That worship would be in order.
Yeah, that's good.
Because now what happens, that I believe that's one of the confusions we have, is trying to see where is a sacred and holy place.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. And, you know, people use as many excuses on why they don't come to church and why they do come to church.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter, the church, even in biblical days, was designed to be a temple for healing.
Come on.
For deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed to come to get away from the madness.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what happens, if you said we can stay home and receive God and get away from the madness, then that's saying we really don't need a church anymore.
Wow. Wow. That's and you know, it's again, it shows how we twist the words around in the Bible, or how people will use what's said in the Bible to try to get their own agendas across. Because what you'll end up happening is people will say, well, if God is everywhere, why do I have to go to church? Why do I need to be there on Sunday? I can worship God any day out of the week. But then my argument in response to them is, people will say, why do I need to go to school? You can just give me the books and I can learn at home. And we know that not to be true, because unless those teachers are following you home, who is going to teach you? So if it's one thing if you went to school your freshman year of high school and say, okay, give me all the books I'm going to need for my freshman year, and I'm going to take them back home. I ain't got to come here and be around other students. I don't need to be around the teacher. I'm just going to take them home, and I'm going to learn by myself. But who's there to give you instruction? See, I think we tend to forget about the instruction, and I don't know if it's this issue of people feeling like those giving the instruction aren't qualified or what, but you still need that biblical instruction. You still need the gathering. You need to be around like-minded believers. You can't sit at home and think, okay, I'm good. I can just worship at the crib. That's just not realistic. That's not realistic at all.
I'm going to say this. A lot of times we use terminology and try to blame it on a Greek.
Uh-huh. You still there?
Dana.
Wow. Yeah, I'm here. I got you.
Okay. Worship is can mean noun and it can mean a verb.
Mm-hmm.
Noun is the place. Verb is our actions.
Okay.
And so what happens, we get confused on scriptures when it pertains to worship, because scriptures forsaken ourselves to assemble ourselves together, right? We supposed to be together in fellowship,
mm-hmm.
in fellowship, in unity. You know, Jesus, yeah, he did do some things in houses. He did do a lot of things outside. But, you know, his works supposedly be taken inside the church, as far mm-hmm. as his healing, his deliverance, his breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're mistaken what the church identity really is.
Okay.
Because I believe we have gotten so commercialized
yeah.
that we're missing the root meaning of what is church.
Okay, so you just
church.
Yeah, you just hit something, because that's the second point. Let me read that real quick, because you're right in the wheelhouse right now. It says gatherings are more than evangelist events. The writer says, it's clear that being attractional drives many ministries. What this may mean is programming due to a demographic, the use of marketing to felt needs, and evaluating sets by growth. He says the worship service then is structured to attract, as are the other programs of the church. Music chosen to reach. Sermons are presented to communicate, and ministry programs are performed to draw in numbers. All of these things are not ethically or theologically an issue to me, the writer says, except when we call them worship instead of what they are. He says, attracting our community is a great idea, and we should, but are these attractional activities actual ministry or simply tools to help us in our ministry? Wow.
Wow.
That's good.
But I believe, you know, because we have taken the true factor out of
mm-hmm.
church,
mm-hmm.
that's why so many people leading broken.
Wow.
You got a lot of leaders that's broken that never had a true deliverance or healing, that they're just pretty much spreading, transferring a broken spirit. Mm-hmm. And so now what happens, we feel, well, number one thing, when the preacher going through, the best way for him to overcome is preach his way out. No, the best way to overcome is your relationship with God.
Yeah,
and ask God
yeah.
to deliver you.
Yeah.
And so what happens, even when we're broken as leaders, watch this, we are just as guilty as anyone else because we don't feel that there's true deliverance need to take place no more in us.
That's good.
And so
yeah.
now the church has lost its flavor because not of the sinner, but because of the church floor. Because here, now all this telecast stuff, I don't need church no more. I can get my word here. The word is not just for you to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth of the matter, how many of us really sit down faithfully and listen to that oral word when we're looking at it on TV? Truth of the matter, when we're in church.
Yeah,
we're
how
not
many,
even looking at the whole we're not
yeah,
listening to the whole word, did it?
Right. How many of us are taking notes? How many of us, when we get home, can turn back around and say, you know, when that minister said this or that pastor said this, you know, I looked it up or it meant this to me or that to me. Are you taking it home or are you just sitting there for your 90 minutes and 2 hours to be entertained and go home? Or as they say, you come to get
yeah.
your praise on and then you just went home, but no, you didn't go home and make any effort to change your lifestyle. Nothing actually happened new for you. You just went to church.
Right. That's
yeah.
it. And that's
yeah.
why most people leave out the same way they came in.
Yes. Yes.
Because
absolutely.
Their mindset. They're not coming for expectation. You
mm-hmm.
gotta come for expectation. Now that's when it gets personal. You know,
mm.
that's when you have to get selfish. You have to get selfish when you come to church because nobody knows what you've been experienced during the whole week. And so you wanna come to get filled up just like your guest. You know, and in a minute, I'm driving my car, but I'm
mm-hmm.
looking at my gas and it's about to be on empty. So even during this broadcast, you probably hear it say, ding, 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 ding.
Uh-huh.
That's the warning to
right.
indicate I need to go get some gas.
Come on.
Here, the things that happens in our life that's causing hell, that's causing us to do things we should not do, those
mm-hmm.
are warning signs then that we're empty. That you
yeah.
need to go get a fill-up.
Yeah.
But we're not paying attention to the warning signs. Because church has become the next club. Church has become the next meeting place. Church has become the next gathering. I mean, it's everything but what the Lord called the church to be. And so what happens, if you're abiding by the principles of the Word and of God, and then if you're abiding exactly how the Bible said the church ought to be, your church no longer becomes attractive because it seems like it's not offering enough to people.
Mm.
And so that's why so much manipulation and deceptions have become in the church because we're competitive, trying to draw everyone to our particular ministry because we offer more than you than your church. And that's what happens. And so now we're overlooking the church. I see more people, they don't go to Sunday morning service, but if there was a concert, or something going on, they would not attend Sunday morning service but go to that concert.
Wow. Wow. The writer continues with this. He says, why is it that we limit evangelism and discipleship to 1 hour on a Sunday and think worship is everything else? He says, one thing we know from the writer of the book of Hebrews is this. We are to spur each other on for the love and good deeds in our worship. He says, are we more concerned about getting crowds or about loving those crowds? He says also, how we reach people is how we keep people. So if we entertain people to draw, then we're going to have to entertain them to keep. Wow, that's huge. That's
wow.
huge. Yeah, that's huge. That's big time.
You know what? That's what you call building things on a solid foundation or sinking sand.
Exactly.
Because based upon what you build on, determines
mm-hmm.
the longevity of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said this. A lot of people look at smaller churches now don't have many members, but truth of the matter, they still live. They still exist. They churches 60 years anniversary, 75 years anniversary, and we, you know what we say? That they should have been closed down a long time ago, because we see all these new churches being built. And we said, we thinking that where they offer more. Well, sometimes you got to take a really good look at that. And I'm guilty of that, too, because if God allowed this church to be in existence for 75 years, this church, you know, most people can't stay in an apartment for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But this church can still be in existence for 75 years. It's not the church. It's the leadership.
Right.
That we don't key into. The church is always going to be the church. If God called the church, if Jesus had upon this rock, I build my church. How can you identify what's the Lord's church? Every building that's out here that have worship service is not considered to be God's church.
Wow.
Because there's some things that goes on in the church that no deliverance is taking place. No healing is taking place. No breakthroughs are taking place. I know that for a fact. You know that. And so what happens is it's embarrassing God and what his word stands for. And so my question is, number one, and I wish I had the article because I want to go ahead and miss. Did he really give full explanation of what is worship?
Yeah, he did. He did break that part down. He actually was saying that I think that's one of the things he was talking about, because the writer was saying that people use the term worship, saying that I can worship anywhere. I don't have to go to church to worship. So he's actually fighting that argument and saying, yeah, you can worship anywhere, but you can't forsake worship. You know, by staying home, you still need to worship with other believers, with other like-minded Christians. So,
other like-minded.
Absolutely.
I guess that means, well, you got a house full of sinners, but you try to worship God. Is that authentic? Is it converted? You know, here, you're in a place, and I'm just being real. You're in a place of hell. Your household is pretty much a living hell. But you want to turn it a God's place of worship. That's not how God operates. That's honestly not how God operates. And that's how we begin to insult and fool ourselves, make ourselves think that God is everywhere. And I often ask this question. When I teach praise and worship, and I teach the authenticity of worship, and I teach all this, and one of the biggest questions I ask preachers, pastors, worship leaders, choir directors, musicians, how long do you think, I told you that button was going to go off, how long do you think that Jesus would stay in a worship service, in your church service?
Wow.
If he said that he's not an author of confusion, if he said he's not part of none of that, how long do you think he honestly stayed in your service?
You're right.
I asked that question not because I feel like my service is the best, but I asked that question because most people be trying to too much of them and none of him. Mm-hmm. And how can you add so much of you and none of him in your worship experience? Mm-hmm. Now people becoming to be entertained, not we're not glorifying. And this is a great subject matter. And I'm going to take this because it's one of the toughest things that goes on in the church now, especially this new day church. Because, I was just watching the church service the other day. Matter of fact, I was watching, I think it was last night, night before last, Rashawn Mitchell was in concert. And somebody was Facebooking live. Mm-hmm. And honestly, was going like a straight concert, like
yeah.
He looked, and you know what? However, I have an issue with us downplaying the sanctuary of God.
Absolutely.
I have an issue with it.
Absolutely.
You know, the altar meant things in the house of God. Mm-hmm. There's things in the church that meant some sacredness, some value. That's just like you told how your people, you was giving them understanding of communion. How,
right.
Listen,
right.
I know in the past, you know, the Bible, we all, as often as we do this, you
right.
know, but guess what? If you're not spiritually equipped and tuned to do it at this time, sometimes it's best not to do it. I understood that. And it takes more people to even take that stand, because before you commune, you should have a heart of repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found most people only commune because they see everyone else doing it.
That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Let's keep it going. It's not that much left. He says this. The writer says, the power of the presence of God. He says, if we as worshipers become more loving to each other and our neighbors, it is far better than the haze machine and the fancy sound system. He says, it is better than offering great coffee or cool church stage designs with a wood backdrop. He says, again, I love all these things, but is the gathering about getting a certain feeling? He says, what we call religious experience indeed is far less than what we see in the Bible. He says, the famous encounter of the prophet Isaiah had with God made Isaiah undone before he could even speak. He says, I don't know about you, but a terrifying experience is not what I ask God for daily or even in a worship service. He says, a religious experience is where you will never be the same again. The emotional last song in revival meeting gets people to walk forward and recommit their lives. This is a good thing, but a religious experience is a far more powerful thing. He says, it is lasting because it happens to us more than we happen to choose it. Like Paul on the road to Damascus saw Jesus and was blinded. He was never the same after that. The writer says,
wow.
Right. He says, the point here is that if we sell this life-changing encounter to our parishioners as a reason to come on Sundays and then only provide the vibes of a concert, we are bait and switching people.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, listening to the writer, you know, he's coming from a more or less urban environment. However, it's still accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There's something you got to take, because you know we substituting worship service for everything else.
Yes,
we substituting church on Sunday morning service have been getting substituted. You know, there's nothing really. You know, everything that we do now in church is pretty much we're changing, and I think I keep saying this. And I even keep telling my members this, that sometimes you got to go back to basics to really assess where your people are at. Because sometimes a pastor can think he's more than his membership, and he can lead his membership, leave them in a place of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking that they're following him, but truth be told, they're not, because they no longer keep it. They have to, because even cause so much gap between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important that you know your audience, you know the people that's under you, because you know in the areas that we need the most help. Here, if you got all poor folks, you can't keep preaching on prosperity.
Come on.
You cannot. If you got folks who are full of health, you can't keep preaching on God as a healer. You can't. You can't. That the Bible is full of different matters that we as a people go through on a daily basis. And if I often say this, if your matter is not in the Bible, it's not a God moment.
Wow.
It's not a God problem.
Wow.
If it's not in the Bible, it's not a God problem. And a lot of
That's
times
good.
We try to find what we go through in the Bible, and if it's not there, we got to check ourselves to let ourselves know, well, maybe this is not a God problem.
Mm.
And I mean that sincerely. as a preacher, as a pastor, as a man, as a father, as an ex-husband, however you want to say it, I found it to believe. Some things that I used to be in wasn't a God problem. I kept trying to ask God to fix it, and it wasn't none of his business to fix because it wasn't his problem. It was self-affliction.
Mm-hmm.
It was self-affliction. And
that's
so
good.
The church, man, I pray to God that the church get its flavor back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. This is we're almost at the end. He says, God promises to be present. He says, we may indeed have life-changing encounters with him as he promised to be present with us, but we cannot promise experiences on demand. He says, there are companies like Disney who do this and an agreement, and the agreement is that it is entertainment and escape. He says, we love the experiences others create for us, but that is not our job in the church. He says, we cannot or don't program experiences for our parishioners. We preach the promises and the truth, and then let the Holy Spirit do as he wishes. The expectation of the Holy Spirit is different than prescribing a specific spiritual experience. Mystery is deeper than good vibes. Faith must believe in promises even when the vibes are not causing goosebumps or flutters. Let me jump on this, because some people will go to church, and if the choir didn't move them and the preacher's sermon didn't move them, they will leave there saying, we didn't have a good church today.
Wow.
Yeah, because we've created this, like you said earlier, this concert theatrical program, and the first time they don't see it, they think you cheating church. You cheated me out of my church today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you know something else that we struggle on?
Go ahead.
And I think it's pastor's fault for this,
mm-hmm.
that we keep, and true and all, it's a reality, but we don't have to use the term as loosely as we do. The business aspect of the church. You know, like, I got guys, I'm in groups, these text groups and stuff, that in order for them to have a great worship experience, they predicate that the giving was up or low, down or high.
Wow.
And I think that's, you know, they talk about worship at some point, which they talk about singing, the crowd, blah, blah, and the giving. Or I done seen them, everything was on point, but the giving was low. You know, honestly, you know, you ought to be grateful that you're getting something. Seriously. I know it's a business aspect, and I know that we got to meet budget, but in the same token, you don't know what these hard-earned money is coming from.
Right.
You don't know if they give it, how much sacrifice they're giving out of today. You don't know what they've been through, and they're still willing to give. Mm-hmm. You don't know what they're lacking, and they're still willing to give. And most people, you know, we get upset because if we don't get a certain dollar amount, that we're dead. And, you know, truth of the matter, God is holding us accountable for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, last one. He says this. He says, let me get on to the last one. He says, sleeping in is not an option, or is it? Sleeping in is not an option. He says, I've heard many say, I had church at the beach, or my church was on the golf course. He says, if those four movements were part of it, then I may agree. He says, if you had people gathered as God's people, then you get one check. If the Bible was taught and shared, then you have another. Next, if the sacramental presence of God is present at his table, you get another one. Finally, if you are sent to live out God's call on you, then you pass. Enjoy the day off. But you should call it church. So what he's saying is, I like that. What he's saying is, don't say you had church at the beach if you didn't try to disciple nobody while you was at the beach.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Don't say you had church on the couch, you know, if you didn't try to move somebody who else is in your house to grow their relationship with God. So I, you know, you can say, yeah, I had church on the couch, but, you know, while you were having church on the couch, who did you pray for? Who did you disciple? Who did you share the word of God with? If you sat at home and watched, who was that? Bishop T.D. Jakes on church, and he preached to you, did you take the message that he gave you and run and tell it to somebody else? Because if all you did was sit on at home on your couch, and then you don't share the word with anybody, then that's not worship. That's not worship.
Wow.
That's you sitting at home watching
wow.
them. You might as well have been watching Netflix.
Wow. Wow.
That's deep,
yeah.
man. That's and you know, we guilty of that, man. Like even when we go on vacation.
Yep. yeah.
I mean,
yep.
we got to be careful the things we speak out of our mouth. And
that's
I
true.
Think it's more like some things we speak like, I know I've said this many times and I'm guilty, I'm leaving my Bible at home and I'm doing this doing that. I mean, be honest, I said that I did, not knowing the things I'm saying out of my mouth is contradicting to what I believe, what I stand for and believe in, and what I even tell my people. And here as a leader, what if our members did that said that all the time? We want to get down their throat. We want to say this and that, man, but. When tables turn, are we holding ourselves accountable like we want to hold our own members as well, too? And I
yeah.
think a lot of this stuff stems from the attitude of the leaders as well, too. I mean, we got to do better. And I will even start with myself. Got to do better when it comes down to taking care of the Lord's house. We got to do better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, y'all, look, it has been a great, man. We had a great show. No, we had some technical difficulties, but, you know, we normally don't. I'm not a big fan of doing the remote shows, but sometimes you got to do what you have to do. But, hey, it worked out, man. I appreciate you. Hey, what you got going on this weekend?
Man, listen, tomorrow is my Thanksgiving feeding, man. We're going to try to feed 200 or 300 folks, whoever come out. Man, we want to feed them, man. Give them. We do ours early because we do know the following week everyone want to do theirs that weekend. So we do ours a week early, and then next week I'm gonna pass out some turkeys next Sunday at church. So that's what we do, man. That's what we got going on.
Okay, cool. That's good. Yeah, man. You know, that'd be another day of worship at Kingdom for me on
yeah,
Sunday,
man,
and then.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question, man, and you know, this would make it critical for where you guys are at.
Mm-hmm.
How are you prepared to deal with knowing that you guys don't have a senior pastor? Are you prepared to deal with some questions or even praying for those who are confused, conflicted about what's going on with the election? Are they going to give you the liberty to bring counsel or what, man? Because it's crucial. It's crucial.
That's a good question, man. And I ain't got a real answer for you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say this, man. I'm definitely praying for you. And like always, as we always have said, make sure you just keep a word in you that you're able to share with the people. And you're able to encourage them in times like these, man. And I'm here for you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man. Well, let us pray real quick. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the time that we had. God, we thank you for our listeners right now. God, we thank you for even all the situations and circumstances that we're going through right now. God, I thank you so much for... the people who are affected by this election on Tuesday, God, and we just ask right now, God, for peace. We ask for peace. We ask for peace of mind right now for your people, God. We know there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of trepidation right now, God. But we know that you are still in control, and yes, our faith in you has not quivered. But our faith in man has been shaken, and that's why we look to you, Lord, in situations and in times like these. So, God, we know that you can do it because you always have. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, look, man, you know what? I'm hoping I'm hoping we can do something different in the coming days and months and weeks as far as how we feel about this election and everything, and we can give hope at this time. The church knows it needs to be a comfort to the people. It's almost to the point where situations like this, you said it at the very beginning of the show, should draw people to the Lord. Well, Sunday we'll see. You'll see at your church, and I'll see at mine. Do we have a few extra folk that showed up because they're a little concerned about what's going on? So we have to keep our eyes out and ears out, looking and hearing and listening to see what's going to go on. All right, man. It's been a good one.
All right, man.
Hey, look here. And while you driving through the streets of Chicago, hey, look, keep your head on a swivel.
Yes.
Y'all be blessed, man. I'm out of here. And, yeah, that's what we got. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.